Welcome, everybody, to Spotlight 814, Erie's local theater podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dolly. I am here in the studio with my co-host, Brenna Thumler.
Hi, people. I'm Brenna Thumler.
Hi, Brenna Thumler. And we're also joined in the studio today by our very first guest, Amanda Hill.
Hello.
Hi, Amanda. Hi. It's so good to have you here with us today. Oh, thank you for having me. This is really exciting.
Yeah, we just saw Amanda on stage last night at All In Act, and she was cracking us up.
Yeah.
Cracking us up.
The show was What is Susan's Secret?
Yes.
And Amanda, can you kind of give us a brief synopsis of what the show is?
Absolutely. What is Susan's Secret is an American farce that's written by Michael and Susan
Parker,
and it's a husband and wife team, and they did this show where you have an elderly couple that are running this inn, and of course the place is in need of repairs, and so they run these handyman specials where they manipulate carpenters, plumbers, tradesmen to come in and do their repairs for free. They have them sign like a hidden contract. So if they don't do the work, then they got to pay over $1,700 to do it. They owe the innkeepers money. So it's just this elaborate farce on these two con artists that own the inn. And throughout the play, you get to meet all these colorful guests that Michael and Susan have at their inn and try to con.
Now, your husband, Greg, is also in the show.
Yes.
And Greg had us laughing so hard.
He does that at home, too.
Is that how he talks?
I'm very blessed, yes, to have a monotone husband.
He's wonderful. Greg and I actually met through theater, and I cannot express the importance of having a spouse that supports what you do. And I've been so lucky to be able to share the stage with him and bounce ideas off of him. And Greg is not only gifted with the comedy, but he can do the straight stuff really, really, really well. But he has had so much fun with Jeffrey, and it's very apparent, and you can see that right on stage.
So this obviously wasn't your first show with him.
Oh, no.
How long have you been doing shows together?
We met at the Erie Playhouse doing Titanic in 2000. It was either 2006 or 2007.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Too shy to talk to me. You know, life kind of passed us by for a few years. And then we ended up reconnecting, and we ended up being an engaged couple in an interactive murder mystery wedding dinner theater over at the station. And that's where he proposed.
So, and then, yeah,
but he is a joy to watch.
Yeah.
For this particular show.
Oh, it's so good. And I remember you back then in Titanic, you were Amanda Stevenson.
Yes.
I can't remember where we met. We met a long time ago. I just can't remember.
Probably somewhere along the line, Playhouse stuff, but I was a Mercyhurst kid. So, you know, an ITS kid, and Jim Gandolfo protege.
Yep.
So Tammy has been my coach for a number of years, over 15.
Okay.
I still sing with her on the weekly basis through FaceTime. It's important to keep your craft, and to, especially with voice.
That's great.
It's wonderful. When you have that fit with a coach, it just, you're willing to, you got to make that work.
Yeah. You hear that?
I did hear that. I am in the room.
She started her voice lessons when? About a month ago?
About a month ago. Yeah,
with Ashley.
Yeah, right.
Wonderful.
Now, I met you because you were just in my show at Drama Shop and did an excellent job playing the crazy bookstore owner, Brenda. Can you talk a little bit about the differences between, you know, working on this farce play and working on a local original?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it was hysterical because the ladies in bookstore and I, when there were auditions for the Drama Shop One Acts, we had no idea you were there. So we're thinking, oh, my goodness. We found out later, the writer of the play is here.
No pressure. So we were doing these auditions and we had no idea, which was probably a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
But we were so committed to bringing your vision to life. And your story is so relatable. Everybody had a toxic boyfriend and everybody gets caught in a bad narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And doing an original piece, you feel that you're sitting and you're thinking, oh my goodness, I hope that I'm going to do this justice, not just for the organization, but for the writer, the person that has poured their heart and soul into this for how long. And we hope that we are your walking, breathing vision.
And
they're on the stage.
You absolutely were.
It was.
She cried a lot.
I still am. Well, I was very lucky. The girls and Liam, of course, and the detestable Liam. The girls were just wonderful and so congenial, and they were such at ease on the stage. And especially Molly. I felt that Molly had that. She invoked all the sympathy for the girl that had been, you know, treated like garbage by her boyfriend. And we all felt it. We all felt Molly's pain.
I felt myself so much in her, and
that's how it should be.
Absolutely.
I felt it too. I mean, I've been through that myself.
Exactly.
Like, as a male, like, I even felt that. Like, that's...
Absolutely, right? And it was just, you know, the difference of doing an original piece, and then you have, you know, the farce, which is absolute timed comedy. You know, opening the door on time and okay, is my castmate here with this prop, and is my castmate here for that? Two very different beasts, two very different characters. You have Brenda, that was the surreal fairy godmother per se, a figment of Molly's imagination, and then you have Penny, who is the frustrated drunk of her. Boring husband, Jeffrey.
He was also hilarious.
Wandering in the best way.
Yes. No, it's really great to have you here. We've enjoyed watching you the last couple weeks. And
thank you.
You know, and you have something else coming up, too.
I do. The Station Dinner Theater, we open in June, the Savannah Sipping Society. So if you are a fan of the Golden Girls or Designing Women... it's a very good, feel-good girlfriend comedy. There's four of us, and I'm very blessed to share the stage with some of the Erie greats this season. Do you have Karen Naska, Lisa Slezak, Ruth Scandell? I am but a novice and able to really take in these women, and it's going to be a wonderful challenge to do this four-person show with them.
That'll be exciting.
And on top of that, if you missed seeing Amanda in the Drama Shop One Act Festival, you have not lost your chance, because it is now streaming online. If you go to Drama Shop's website, you can get your digital access pass and watch it for the month of May. So go do that.
So you'll be supporting two people in this very room, two out of the three people.
Like 66% of us.
So we talked about your shows. We talked about the house
family.
The performing
family. Family.
Your kids.
My girls have been dancing for Marguerite since they can walk. We agree in the importance of having that foundation with performing. Greg and I have struggled through many a dance audition. And
me too.
All been there.
Oh yeah. Oh
yeah. So are you preparing your girls for the stage in like a theater capacity?
We are going to give them the best tools possible, and we feel that Marguerite can do that. She's wonderful. She is amazing. It is almost recital time, and she also has summer camps that are coming up for all ages and all levels. So she's great. The girls love working with her. So
yeah, if you guys have young ones, you know, take them to Marguerite's. She's been around forever. My sister went to dance with her. Like that was like 30 years ago.
Well, when I had to do some tap brush up for Nonsense back in the day, and I'm talking almost 20 years ago, and we had to take Nonsense to states, I was told to take some dance lessons. And
the poor woman over at Marguerite's. It wasn't Marguerite, but I don't know. I mean, I probably drove her to drink with my skills or lack thereof. But just a great, wonderful studio, patient, great faculty, wonderful with kids, and a great show every year at the Warner. I mean, she's been at the Warner now for a number of years. And even during COVID, we had a beautiful recital at Rainbow Gardens. So
is there tap dancing and nonsense?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. There is a whole number called Tackle That Temptation with a Time Step.
Oh, no way.
I thought, yes, way.
Wow.
Rue McClanahan. There's actually a recording, a DVD, and Rue McClanahan is Reverend Mother, and that's who I played. It's one of my favorite roles of all time.
I love tap dance.
You love the tap?
I love tap dance.
I had to.
Thanks, one of us.
Yeah. I actually had to learn how to tap dance in 2 weeks to play Cosmo and Singing in the Rain.
Did you have any tap for cabaret?
No.
No, you didn't have any tap for cabaret. But sometimes the gorilla and MC number is a tap dance.
Sometimes.
And that's why I thought it was cast at first. I'm like, oh, I can tap dance. They're just making me the gorilla because I can tap.
Yeah. No, we did more of a ballet, which was interesting. Yeah. So that's how we met. She was my gorilla.
I was. You were his. Who was the gorilla? Yeah.
Wow. So now I'm going to make her do every show as the gorilla.
I'm not going to comply. I wouldn't. But I mean that I heard great things about cabaret.
We had a great time.
That's one of my all-time favorite shows. Yeah,
we put a very dark spin on it.
Yes.
It's very, very dark. I can't wait to watch that show. We still haven't had our little watch party with the cast yet, but we're really excited.
Sounds like so much fun. And then everything just runs all at once, so none of us get to see everybody else.
And that's why I'm so happy to be doing this show, because like it's forcing us to get out into the community,
right?
Watch shows and
save it. And actually, we promised you guys we would briefly mention Spooks.
Yes,
and talk about that a bit, which we saw. Amanda, have you seen?
I just know it.
They are so absolutely blessed to know Betsy Butoriak
and
Wayne Gardner, who I heard are absolutely phenomenal.
Every single person in that show.
I heard it is a wonderful, strong show and a gem of the local theater community, a gem script that has been around now. How many years? Is it 30?
Okay, so I have all sorts of research on this. Here's history, Brenna, coming at you. So, to my knowledge, the Roadhouse Theater opened in 1988. There is an Erie Reader article that was written in 2013 by Ben Spigen or Spagan, and it's Spagan, that says that Bowler's play Spooks found success at the Roadhouse Theater in 1991 when Bowler first debuted his more traditional approach to comedy. However, a recent Erie Reader article said that it opened later than that, but I did some digging,
detective
Brenna, on the James Madison University alumni page. The OG director, Scott McClelland, he directed the first production of Spooks. It says that he did, in fact, found the Roadhouse Theater in 1988 and was the artistic director there for many years. And then Spooks Roadhouse run was 1991, 94, 96, and 2002. And I found that information from a case study by Robert Connick for his Master's of Art thesis at Bowling Green University in August of 2007.
What? Go ahead.
This is impressive, Brenna. The case study was about Night of the Living Dead, which was at the Roadhouse Theater, but he mentioned Spook in this case study. So I believe that is credible information.
This is why she's so stressed when she comes here. Like on the way here, she's like, we're not prepared. And I was like, we're fine. And then we come in with this. Okay.
Thank God. Guys, you have it all. You're set.
I'm very set. I'm too set.
Too set.
Also, apparently, there were additional performances of Spooks in Knoxville, Tennessee. I couldn't find further information about that.
But, you know,
Interesting.
That was according to the case study as well.
Okay. So this one was directed by Richard Davis.
Yes, this most recent one.
We all know and love from the Erie Playhouse. So this show had us laughing so hard.
I think that I mentioned this in the review that you can see online, but there were people in the audience who just did not stop laughing.
I think that one lady is still laughing about this.
Now, what is the whole Walker bit that Betsy's been doing? Can we talk about the Walker bit?
We can talk.
Everybody has had the whole theater community buzzing here. You know, it's hard not to do it. It's hard to do it through, you know,
a microphone.
Yeah, you can't really understand how great it was without visuals, but it's just this dramatic, like, she picks the Walker up above her head and sets it down in front of her in order to make it across the room.
She doesn't set it down. She slams it down. And she does this for what feels like 3 minutes, walking across the stage. And it's just like very little steps. And then...
Oh, Betsy is a gem. I'm so sad that I cannot see this, because I've heard wonderful things. And of course, visually, seeing everything that I've seen online, I mean, of course, we have the beautiful wig work of Jeannie Santo.
Right. Yeah.
The queen.
Yep. Meg Harrison has been taking photos, so we're lucky to have that.
Absolutely.
And yeah, there's one more chance to see the show, and that'll be tonight. So that is after the show is released. So no more chances. Until next time, because I'll probably do it.
They are selling out fast.
Yes.
They are selling out extremely fast. I believe last night was a sold-out crowd, if I'm not mistaken.
They deserve it.
Yes.
They absolutely deserve it.
I also want to shout out Bob Dombrowski.
Yes.
Who has been in every single performance since the beginning of Spooks, and that is over 110 performances.
Did he do the Knoxville one, too?
You know... He says every single one.
Okay.
So I'm guessing yes. And also, he mentioned that he's been doing it for over 30 years, which again is further justification that it did begin, in fact, in 1991.
All right.
Because of math.
Something I don't do.
But he was great. Like we said, everyone was perfect for their role.
I mean, Teresa as Pearl. I loved her.
And so this is basically, from what I understand with Spooks, it's a lot of local Erie lore tied into a really, would you classify it as, it's not a black comedy, it's a straight up comedy, right?
Straight up comedy.
Yeah, the presence of Ghost is actually minimal. It's mostly about the relationship of the sisters and their own individual secrets. But yeah, it takes place in 1986 Erie, which I also did some digging on.
I knew. That's why I waited for this. All right.
I won't go too deep into it, but...
So are you going to tell us about the dogs?
I Googled 1986 Mad Dogs, Erie, Pennsylvania. Could not find anything except for the reviews of this show.
Okay.
But just to give you sort of, like, paint a picture of what life was like in 1986 Erie, Waldemere added Waterworld in 1986...
I was two.
I was not born. I was not born either, but a year after.
Yeah.
So, also, the public dock renamed to Dobbins Landing in honor of Daniel Dobbins. And U.S. Air Flight 499 overran the airport runway on February 21st because of whiteout conditions. So that just, you know, gives you some very vital information about what was going on in 1986 in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And I turned two. We got to talk about the standout in the show.
Corrine Scott.
Corrine Scott was so funny. She was perfect. Like, okay. See her in that little tracksuit?
She's in the tracksuit. Okay, yes.
Everybody.
Again's signature images that have been online is Corrine in the tracksuit.
It's like just everybody's got one of those in the family.
I even think I might have had one as a kid.
Yeah.
think those like made their way well into the early 90s.
Wish I had one now.
I feel like I had one that color purple when I was a kid. I don't know if
there's this one scene where like all the sisters are sort of revealing their secrets, and Annie, who she plays, doesn't want people to know she's in the room, so she just keeps ducking behind the counter in the kitchen.
And she's drinking the whole time.
Yeah. And just that, the look on her face as she slowly ducks, like, oh no, there's someone else here. It seems so simple to be, you know, speaking this, but just that subtle physical humor.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It takes a lot to make people laugh with something as subtle as that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we loved every bit of it. So if you missed it, see it next time they do it. I'm sure they'll be doing it again in the next few years. And we're going to take a really quick break, a little intermission. All right. And then we're going to be back with some more Amanda Stevenson Hill. And we are going to talk about another upsetting article.
They just keep coming.
They just keep coming. So we will be right back. Welcome back. It is Act 2 of Spotlight 814, Episode 2, with Amanda Hill.
Hello.
Amanda Hill.
And also me.
Brenna's here, too. Brenna just hangs out in the corner.
Oh, boy.
It's time to rage.
Yeah, we promised this.
Act 2 is our rage time.
Okay, here's the thing. We will not always be raging here.
I will always be screaming. Oh.
I will not. I will mellow it out a bit.
Got to have my bleep button ready.
But I am going to get kind of mad today because we have this new censorship problem that, well, okay.
It's not quite new.
It's not new.
This happened in February.
And also it's been happening for forever.
Forever. Yeah.
But a performance of the annual Putnam Spelling Bee.
25th annual.
Yeah.
And County Spelling Bee.
Yeah. It was challenged essentially because of various issues, so they called them. Basically a song about erections and the portrayal of Jesus Christ, and unfortunately, one of the characters has two fathers, and people didn't like that.
Yep. So this is the Ohio Cardinal Local Schools.
Yeah. This is not the only time this has happened. I want to quickly shout out some other examples here. So a Florida public school stopped the show Indecent because of a two-woman love affair. In Indiana, Marianne was canceled because of a same-sex couple and a non-binary character. In Iowa, Osage County, was canceled because of inappropriateness of suicide, addiction, and racism. And this, oh my gosh, wait till you hear this one. And North Lebanon, PA, the Adams family was stopped.
Heard about.
Because it was too dark and gloomy.
Too dark and gloomy.
Yeah.
So how do you do the Adams family without too dark and gloomy? I mean, I just like to spin that up for question.
They also mentioned, I mean, there was also student smoking and self-harm. But the fact that like they brought in, oh, this is a gloomy show. Like, okay, so we can only do happy shows now.
Yeah. We can only do, God, what's the happiest
Mamma Mia
show? Mamma Mia.
There's no conflict. Yeah. Okay, I love Mamma Mia, but still. But okay, so it's like teaching students that everything is hunky dory, that there are no problems in life.
Gay people don't exist.
It's insanity. I'm gonna read a couple quotes here really fast because I read this Washington Post article about Culture War's latest casualty, the High School Musical. And it says the cancellations come amid fierce political fights over what children should be allowed to learn and do at school. State legislatures are proposing and passing a historic wave of laws and policies restricting LGBTQ student rights and representation at school. So yeah,
essentially people are trying to change this at the state legislature level and censor these shows. The worst thing I read, though, was Robert Pondicio, who was a senior fellow at the Conservative American Enterprise Institute, said, "You have to be mindful of local values. School has always existed to signal to children what is worth knowing and valuable, what we praise and condemn, and you have to apply that to musicals as well." Like, is that the purpose of school?
What's his name?
Robert Pondicio?
You, Robert.
Like, seconded. Are we supposed to brainwash kids into thinking that they should think exactly like older generations and not critically thinking for themselves and not being individuals? Like teach them what is worth knowing? Are you kidding me?
That is, like, that is such a conservative thing to say.
It's like, nothing good has ever come from banning anything.
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, like, one of Brenna's books is being challenged.
Your book?
Let's discuss that a little. Yes. Because it comes along the same lines.
Yeah. So I illustrated the graphic novel adaptation of Anne of Green Gables, and nothing has been banned, but there is an image in the book that is being challenged because, for those of you who don't know the story, Anne, the protagonist, is best friends with Diana, and they get into some trouble, and Anne is blamed, and so Diana's mother basically doesn't want Anne and Diana to ever see each other again. So the illustration shows them parting ways for what they believe is the last time ever, these two best friends. And they're holding hands by a tree, and it's a challenge because people think that it looks like they're lesbians.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, this is friendship. This is what friendship is.
Right.
It's devout love for your best friend who you think you're never going to see again. And they just find ways to make it a problem.
That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. And it's, at the end of the day, it's art.
Yeah.
Who is to sit and judge art, what's right or wrong?
Or
if you don't like it, don't go see it. If you don't like it, don't read it. Don't read it.
Yeah.
If you don't deem something appropriate for your child, don't expose them to it. If that,
don't drag it away from everybody else.
Don't drag it away from everyone else. Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it was with last week's episode as well, when we talked about the school canceling their field trip to see James and the Giant Peach.
That is insane.
Isn't that ridiculous?
That is insane.
Because, like, one parent came out.
Well, I heard that the Roald, is that how you pronounce it? Roald Dahl?
Yeah,
Roald Dahl. I mean, I've heard that his books are actually being edited, and isn't that going on too? Like, some of these books are being, like, some of his books in particular?
I think so.
I feel like I've heard that there were some racist moments inside some of the books that was being edited.
I could be wrong, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. I heard that there was some stuff going on with some of his books. I thought something with Matilda. Which would be interesting because of how popular the musical has become, and now the new Netflix adaptation of the musical, which is, my kids love it too. Oh, they're up and seeing revolting children at 2 to 3 in the morning. Like, yes, you are revolting children. Go to bed.
Him and Madison, some of the best written lyrics I've ever heard for his, the lyrics are written, brilliant, Matilda. But also, I also wanted to mention Libby Albright, who did or was supposed to do the August Osage County musical. She was a senior in school, and basically she felt like the role was really relatable, and someone in her family had recently died by suicide. And it hit her so strongly, and then it was taken away from her, and she had to do You Can't Take It With You instead. And she's like, it was a fun show, but it wasn't fulfilling.
Right.
Right.
And the thing is, like, these are situations in our lives that are real.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're young and, you know, you're going through, like, high school and stuff like that. Like, depression and suicide, that has to be talked about.
And to pretend like it doesn't exist, to be right. Like, let's not
to pretend it doesn't exist doesn't make it disappear.
Again.
Right. Right.
Absolutely.
In fact, it just makes it worse.
So what are the
What are the, you started to touch on this a little bit, Brenna, but what are the kids saying? Have we like the children that are being cast, like you? Yeah.
Right. So one of the students who spoke with Washington Post, I'm assuming, was talking about what happened when the music director came in. It was this past January. They were halfway through rehearsals and the music director comes in and is like, we can't proceed with the show. And the student who spoke said that the entire room just fell and people were sobbing. And it's like, is it worth it? Is it worth it to hurt these kids in this way?
Absolutely.
For your own and personal problem.
If you look at it from an administrative view, okay, first of all, you have the mess with the kids and the upset and all the work and their hearts and these pieces. But then from a fiscal standpoint, you have to pay for these rights ahead of time. You're losing money. Why would you do that?
So the school made them make changes to the script.
The music director worked with the original writer of the show and proposed over 24 changes. 12 were received. 12 changes were made. Thankfully, it was mostly just editing out profanity, which the original director was supportive enough of that. She's like, okay, sure, that's fine. Sure. But she was unwilling to get rid of any of the fundamental changes about like the character and the story. So the gay fathers remained.
Okay.
And any of those like similar, you know, character structure points, those all stayed and the show proceeded. However, for any future shows, this music director does have to get approval from the principal, the board, and the superintendent for any future.
A lot of red tape.
Yeah.
A lot of red
tape. And that's what she says. She's worried about every single move that she makes. She has to tiptoe around it.
Is there certain areas of the country that you're seeing more of this in? Or, I mean, is it just kind of everywhere?
I think it's pretty much everywhere.
It's everywhere. I mean, this particular one is in Ohio, Cardinal School District.
Okay.
I don't know exactly where that is, but it's somewhere in Ohio.
And the other ones I mentioned, it's Florida, Indiana, Iowa, PA. There was also one I saw in California, you know, which is...
Right. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think it's just everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's our anger story of the week. Just, you know...
We bring this up. We don't want to be so negative. We just like want to make people aware of what's happening. And
I just want a reason to swear every once in a while.
Who doesn't want that? Right?
I've only sworn once in this episode so far. And that's going to be a really good bleep. So thank you for giving me that.
We just feel like this is really important to discuss.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to get back to Amanda here.
Yes.
Amanda, thank you for your input on that. Like you as a mother, you know, you count. Your opinion matters.
You know, we were just discussing this before we went back on air. I did an Agatha Christie for All in Act, and that is one of David and Larry's specialty is their Agatha every year. And my character was the murder victim. And I did bring my children, and a lot of folks kind of raised their eyebrows at me and said, well, why are you doing this? Well, because, first of all, I want to teach them the respect of the art. And second of all, that this is real life. You know, it is real life. Things like this happen. And, you know, they knew that in the context it was fake. But
it's all about the discussion.
Absolutely.
Like if you bring them and then say nothing,
yeah,
right, maybe that would be problematic.
Absolutely.
but if you sit down with the kids and have a personal discussion with them about what's happening, like, the whole problem is not talking about this.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a lot of, like, it's a generational thing, too. I mean, I see a lot of folks, you know, things that they say, oh, well, my parents didn't, we don't talk about this. And you know, like we talked about the mental illness. You know, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about addiction. But now, I mean, the positive side of all of this is that my generation, I mean, I'm 36, Ryan, you're
30.
38. Okay. Yeah. And Brenna, you are
30.
30. Okay, so our generation, we are making it okay. Mm-hmm. I will talk to my children about, you know, how are you feeling today? Or, you know, you could come to me and tell me anything. It's a difference of generations, but that's the positive, is that we're trying to make that change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So we are going to do a quick little rapid fire question.
All right. I'm ready.
Situation.
I'm ready.
But before we do that, let's talk about some upcoming shows.
Yes.
In the area.
This is honestly just going to be the same as last week. There's nothing new that has been added that I'm aware of. Except for Amanda's show that is happening at Station Dinner Theater.
And that opens June?
I believe June 3rd. Yes, June 3rd. But on top of that, we have Heather's at MCT opening on May 12th and that runs through the 21st. We have Kingdom Come at Drama Shop opening June 9th, running through the 25th. Finding Nemo Jr. at Playhouse, May 12th through 21st, with a sensory-friendly performance on Sunday, May 14th. And you can still catch Amanda in What is Susan's Secret through May 21st on Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 and Sundays at 3.
That's right. So if you want to see the hill...
Squared.
Hill squared just crack you up for 2 hours, definitely go check that out. Amanda.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am so ready.
Okay. Now, some of these are going to be, you know, typical theater questions.
Okay.
Some of them are not.
All right.
All right. So, Brenna, why don't you go ahead with our first question.
Okay. So, what is your favorite musical or play that I've done, or just in general?
In general.
In general. Sweeney Todd, hands down.
Sweeney Todd. Good one. Good one. Worst musical or play?
Seussical. I'm so sorry.
All right. I've not seen that. I've not seen it.
It's not for everyone. I've done it twice, and it was like the second time I did it where I was like, this isn't so bad. And yeah.
What is your dream role to play?
My dream role, that would have to be Mrs. Lovett.
Okay.
Nice.
I could see that. All right. Everyone gets an entrance song. What's your entrance song?
Oh, my gosh. An entrance song.
When you walk in the room.
What's playing?
When I walk in the room, if this is not a show tune, I would have to be Lady Gaga. It would have to be On the Edge of Glory.
Okay. I'm like picturing you coming out in like a WWE, like,
or something
with Renee Fleming or some kind of a very strong soprano, something from that.
I like it.
Love it.
If you had to replace your hands with something other than hands, what would it be?
More hands.
You can't. It says you can't.
Children, though.
No hands.
Kitchen utensils.
Okay.
I mean, I have to make three different meals the time with my family. So I'm thinking, you know, on a practical standpoint here, I don't like the way that this looks, and the cheese looks chunky, and my hot dog is ugly. I need a different hot dog. So I'd say kitchen utensils.
Can kitchen utensils make a hot dog that's ugly?
I have to ask my 9-year-old that. Ugly hot dogs.
Okay, yeah, that might be the name of this episode. That hot dog's too ugly.
I mean, fair. Like, they are kind of ugly. She's talking about the ones without the ones with the skin.
Okay.
And so it's an ugly hot dog. So then I put the ugly hot dog in. Well, no, that's an ugly hot dog. Okay. So yes, kitchen utensils, hands down, because I always have to make different meals. Or everybody's having cereal.
Cereal. Breakfast for dinner is the best.
Right. Saves my life.
I would do it every day. If I had kids, I'd be like, nothing but breakfast. Forever. Until you're 18. And this is why Ryan doesn't have kids. All right, Amanda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. This has been a pleasure.
It's so nice having you.
Yeah, thank you.
You, as our first guest, definitely won't be the last, and it will not be the last time we see you in the studio.
Thank you so much.
Of course, you're welcome back anytime. So one more time for Amanda Hill.
We do also want to mention
that
we are looking for sponsors for our show.
We want to make this thing grow, and we want to be able to sustain it.
Right. And we need your help to do that.
Yeah.
We cannot do this alone.
That's right. So that'll help us, you know, go see shows. We can afford to go see all the shows. We don't want to be necessarily comped for every show because we want to support the theater.
Right.
We want to pay. So if we have donations coming in through sponsorships, then we can afford.
Yeah, we can go see more and more shows.
Yes. And get the word out there for those. We will also be starting a Patreon page very soon. We'll be announcing that once it's ready, and that will have unedited content. So when I say
it's content,
yeah. So when I say it won't be bleeped.
And there will be additional. There will be more than just that.
And you'll have early access to the show. You'll get all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, we have a whole list going of ideas.
Yeah.
So,
And if there's anything you want on that list, we're open to suggestions.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So check it out. Be on the lookout for all that stuff. And if you want to sponsor us, give us your money. And for Brenna Thumler.
Am I saying goodbye now?
Yeah.
Okay, bye. It's been nice talking at you guys.
Talking at you. For Amanda Hill.
Thank you very much. Catch Susan at A3.
And Amanda, where can people find you on social media if you're into that, if you want people to follow you?
My Instagram account is Created by A. So
Created by A. That's right.
Yeah. Very unoriginal. But
That's
there you have it.
There you have it. I know some people are like, some people are like, don't follow me. I don't want anybody to follow me. But you're doing really cool stuff, and people should see that. So,
thank you.
Of course. And I am Ryan Dolly, and we will see you guys next week. We love you, Erie.